could today, but
a lot now.
So I feel like we're good to go from here on out. For the offering, so it doesn't, either way should probably be all right, but you can if you want. It's not like you guys to be so quiet. You're kind of freaking me out a little bit. It's been a wild Sunday morning already, as you can tell by our attire up here in the wilderness. More on that later. Let's sing, though, as we begin our time together. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
So I want you to turn to somebody, because there might be a new face in here today, and remind everybody your names and shake a hand as we begin our praise time together.
This is where we have to go say hi. Imagine that.
And go ahead, find your seat. It is good to be with you this morning. I know. The fellowship is sweet and also super loud today. I just want you to know that. Really good. I know. This isn't where we plan our whole week, people. We just say hi, okay? I know. It is really good. It has been a busy week here at Faith, even for summertime. But we are glad, and we have some visiting or new faces with us today. If you're visiting, we're especially glad you're with us today. So please take a chance. And we have clipboards that we try to keep a track of the attendance and stuff. So if you could go ahead and make a mark on that, and if you want to leave us your name and number, we'd love to stay in contact with you. That would be awesome. We promise not to overly spam you or give you any incredible offers that you can't resist. I promise. That is not what we do. But we do want to connect. That's part of why we gather. That's part of why we want to shake hands and greet for like 20 minutes. You all want to connect. So that is a big part of the fellowship here, and we are glad you're with us today. We have just a little bit of family business here before we continue on with our worship service. And one of those things is we have a baptismal Sunday coming up on August 10th. We have some people want to get baptized. And the reason we bring that up is because that's been on your mind, maybe the Lord has just been calling you to that, and you've been thinking about that and wondering when and where that might happen. This might be the time. In fact, we encourage you to take that step of obedience in believer's baptism. At least we firmly endorse that and encourage people to do that. What an incredible testimony and an incredible time where people can take that step of obedience again after Jesus and just declare what they're doing and what he has done inside. And it's just a sweet time. I want to put that out there. And please, if that's been on your heart, please talk to me or one of the elders. We'd love to talk to you about that, and we can make that happen. And August 10th, you can get as wet as you want to be. That we would love to do that in baptism. We have a number of people we're upholding in prayer. Please take a look at the bulletin. We have people of the week, the Friedrichsen family, here in our local fellowship. We have missionaries that every week we want to be upholding to the Lord in prayer. And so please take a look at that. And even if you may not know them as much as we like, because we don't get to see them very often, keep them in prayer. It's amazing to hear what God is doing outside of these walls, outside of the confines of Burns and Hines and Harney County, right? God is doing incredible things. We want to join in that with them. As well as that, we have the Church of the Week and our Ministry of the Week. Please be praying for your elders. It sounds super selfish as I say that, as I are one, but please be praying for your elders. They serve you, and many of them have served you for a long, long time, and they are a great group of guys. I'm blessed to have them. You're blessed to have them. And what they do, though, is it's the work of ministry, and they bear burdens that they get to bear because God has called them to that place of eldership. And so sometimes maybe you don't always get to hear everything that happens, and that's just the nature of the beast in a church, right? But if you uphold them in prayer, know what they do is they seek to shepherd both the ministries and the souls of this flock. And that's, I appreciate their efforts and as one of them too. And so I can't put it out there enough to you as just part of our fellowship if you could be upholding them. Because what they do is not only helpful to you, but it glorifies God, and it really presents a picture of what we're supposed to all be doing for one another. So please lift them up. At this time, we have a special treat because this was Vacation Bible School Week. I do not always have wild creatures on the stage with me. That's why this is special. And we had a fantastic week. And to summarize, we had kids come to the Lord this week. I know that we had a great time. We had people from the community in this building experience the love of God that maybe never had been here before. And kids here, it was fantastic. And I just want to say just a shout out to every single volunteer because it took a significant amount of work and man and woman power to pull off VBS. And I got to watch you all firsthand and be part of that, and what a joy. But know that your efforts, yes, you're gonna get crowns in heaven for that, but I want to also give you a huge thank you today. As you were crew leaders, singers, tech people, craft people, snack people, and last but not least, our commander. She loves it when I call her that. Dusty Davis. And right now we're actually having a treat because the kids are gonna share with us a couple of the special songs that they got to learn during the week as we took the journey of True North. So I want to invite all the VBS kids to come and get it. And at the same time, our commander, Dusty.
Am I on? Yeah, I am on. Okay, great. All right, kiddos, make your way to the front. We're going to stay off the stage again. So even our dance team is going to be down in front. Pastor Rob did a great job of recapping our week. Our theme was True North, Trusting Jesus in a Wild World. And our kiddos, we had an average of 60 each day, ages 4 through 11. Over 20 youth volunteers and around 30 adult volunteers come every single day and show the love of God to a lot of people. It was really fun. We're going to sing two of our favorite songs. One is My God is Powerful, and they know all the moves. So if you know the moves, or if you feel so led to dance along, feel free out there. I know some of you out there do know these moves, okay? But these kids are super excited. We have a couple coming in from the nursery before we get started. Then our second song is kind of the theme song of the week. It's called True North. So these were two of our favorite songs from the week. I hope you enjoy.
Oh, my circumstance, become my compass, no. I will not let the fears of life and sorrows of this world dictate to me how I should feel. For you I'm not, you know. Shame. I will not walk beneath the clouds that taunt me and condemn. For I will stand on solid ground, the shadow of your love. Forgiven, changed, a heart renamed. For you are my true north. Everybody sing. Dark, 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 you are my true north. I will follow you with all my heart, heart, heart. You are my true north. I will follow you into the dark, dark, dark. You are my true north. I will follow you with all my heart, heart, heart. You are my true north. Dark.
Excellent job, guys. Thank you for being up here. If you are kids church age, 4 to 7, head into the kids church. Martin, you can go right this way, babe.
I'm 4.
I know you're 4. Good job. All right. I think, Dad, you're up.
I'm at least 4. Can I go to kids' church too? Welcome, everybody. It's great to see everybody here this morning. And it has been a wild and crazy time. You can look at all the decorations here and know that it has been a wild time. So I would like to, I'm given the pleasure here this morning of taking the opportunity to introduce somebody in our midst that we have not seen in quite some time. So BC and Christy, would you guys stand up? And so BC and Christy were our pastors for over 11 years. They are here visiting with us, and it's such an honor to have you guys join us here this morning. Brian and Cummins and his wife Joy are also here, and their 3 kids. So please take a moment and get reacquainted. It's been a number of years since we've seen these folks, and so it's great to have them. We also had Gallagher and his family with us. So we've had a very full house, but it's been an exciting, exciting time. I'm going to take a moment to pray as for our offering. So as the men would wait upon us this morning, I'll pray for the offering as well as covering a few other things. And so if you would bow with me for a word of prayer. Father God, we look around and we see how incredibly blessed we are because we are your children and because you are our God. Father, thank you for how you watch over us, how you protect us, how you desire the absolute best for us, how you love us so incredibly. It's not that we deserve that love, but you love us anyway. As a matter of fact, we deserve anything but the love that you share for us. And so, Father, again, I just thank you for your incredible love and blessings for each of us. We recognize our position before you as a sinful people and the power of forgiveness because of that love you share for us. Father, we do lift up the people before us this morning, each one,
those that are hurting physically. We think of the many, the Baker family, Noah, Joe, as they heal. Father, Doreen, many others in our midst that are suffering physically, are suffering emotionally, are suffering spiritually. We lift them up to you and ask as the mighty God, you know who they are. So, Father, we surrender to you your will, your way, your purpose, and desire to serve you and in any capacity that you call us to. So thank you for that. For those who are serving you on the mission field, Father, we just ask your special blessing upon them. We're given the freedom and the opportunity to have a special person or family of the week. And we do lift up John and Aaron and his family. Thank you for their ministry here at Faith Baptist. Thank you for all that they do and just for their life here. And we ask your blessing upon them. Father, I, like Rob, I appreciate, I covet the prayers of these your people as an elder and just would ask that indeed we would be a people that seek your face in all things. And so thank you for the prayers of these people as they lift us as elders up. And for the church, our sister church, Mercer Fellowship in Marysville, we do pray for our pastor, Christopher Rich, and his wife, Tara, and just ask that you would bless them as well. Father, we're given an opportunity to give back to you a portion of which you have blessed us with. And we do so with cheerful hearts and just ask that you would bless both the giver and the gift as we use these funds to further your kingdom. And as we think about how extensive that goes and all the way, Father, to South Africa missions, our missionary, a brother and a sister that grew up right here in the church. And so, Father, we do ask that you would use those funds again to further your kingdom, not just in Harney County, but all across the whole world. Father, we surrender this time to you and ask that you would be glorified, you would be honored, you would be worshiped. Thank you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
I always feel a little silly going to get up to play after Lois because I'm like, what am I supposed to do after that? Because he lives, though. Great song, right? Life is worth the living just because he lives. And no, that song is full of goodness and truth. Thank you so much, Lois, for playing that. We want to praise God together today. We're going to keep thinking about these things and sing some truths from our kind of connect our head and our hearts a little bit as we prepare ourselves for Psalms 27, the word this morning. So I hope these songs focus us that way, turn our attention to these things. That song was a great start. Let's stand up as we praise God together.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul loves and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousand elsewhere. Better is one day. One thing I ask, and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask, and I would see. My heart and flesh cry out to you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousand elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousand elsewhere. Never failing, let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. And Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Thank you. my fears of failure, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. And Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
It's easy to sing about the things He has done, and we need to remind ourselves of those things. And this next song here, as we get ready to head towards a time in the Word, it reminds me of not just that, but it reminds me of the fact that not only did He provide hope at a given time in history, dying and rising from the grave, but that He is not that, but he's also our living hope, and that's the name of this next song, and He is a living hope for us. I hope we can grab a hold of that as we, again, hear from His Word here in a few minutes this morning.
How great the chasm that lay between. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke Your name into the night. Then through the darkness Your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. What could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm Yours forever. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your dirty body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. For Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its symphony. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Lord, we pray that would be true of us today, that we would recognize that, Lord, look on what has been done, and look forward with great hope. Let that seed deep in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go ahead and be seated for scripture reading.
Good morning. I'm going to ask you to stand back up for the scripture reading, please. Today we'll be in Psalms chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. You may be seated.
Well, it is good to be again with you in the Psalms this morning. You want to turn your Bibles to Psalms 27. That's where we are headed on our continued journey in the Psalms. And I'm hoping you're having half as much fun in the Psalms as I am. It has been good to be in a part of Scripture that, quite honestly, again, I think we don't always understand it as much as we'd like. And sometimes we wonder, like, what we're supposed to do with it. And I do think it has a lot to tell us about how we are to both know Him and experience Him, and then even to the better point of how we connect with God. Because
The point always is, no matter where we're at in Scripture, right? The point is always, so what? You know, what are we supposed to do with that, right? I hope you know that. I hope that we are not here just to try to get smarter, although that probably shouldn't hurt, right? But we're not here just to stuff our heads. We're here to see what God does as He changes us into the image of His Son. And that happened, right, as the living Word stayed connected with His Father. So these Psalms have a lot to teach us that way. And again, I know that I need to keep working on what that looks like. And we always want the big idea because, hey, you know, I know people got lives, right? So our big idea today, though, in Psalm 27 is we can worship God as we live in confident awe of who He is, waiting on His provision and protection during challenging times. Psalms have been described as Israel's worship manual, you know, the hymn book of the Old Testament. And that's largely true, right? It's full of songs. Some of the songs we sung today are straight out of the Psalms. Better is one day. That's one of my favorite, like, newish choruses. If you've never sang that one before, I say new because it's 20 years old, but you know, I get new is new, right? I love that song because it's a direct lift out of the Psalms and expresses so much of actually what we're trying to understand today. And I think a lot of times we look at worship like that's something we do when we're feeling good or when we're okay. And one of the weird reality checkpoints the psalm gives us is it uncomfortably kind of squishes together the worship of God in kind of uncomfortably sometimes awkward human emotional time. Like when people are miserable. There's misery in worship that are oftentimes kind of accordion together into the Psalms. And if you're reading that, sometimes it just feels straight up schizophrenic. Like, where is this guy? God is great. God is good. My life stinks. I want to die. You know, it's like, what happened? You know, did he forget his medicine? What? But I hope what we're slowly wrapping our heads around is those things are not as antithetical as we probably have been trained to think or maybe makes us comfortable. I'm trying to wrap my head around that more as well, too. So you're not alone as we figure all this out. You know, because, again, we have a goal in the Psalms. This isn't just devotional practice. We want to get better at responding to God. I say that because I'm not picking on you. I'm mainly talking about me. But, you know, I want to lump you in with me to feel better. I think the things we know about God and the things we feel comfortable expressing are oftentimes divided in uncomfortable, non-spiritual ways. We want to respond to Him, and we want to grow in that. We want to learn how big He is, and I think that's always a factor. And sometimes we'll say, I was reading an article this week, and somebody says, your Bible isn't thick enough. And what he meant was, you don't know God well enough. Sometimes we put God and the Bible together like they're the same thing, and it is His Word, but that's not God. He's bigger than even our printed Bibles, you know, these bad boys. He's bigger than that, right? But He is expressed in there, so we hold it as His living Word. But we got to figure out how big He is, and then finally, we want to actually have a transparency to our worship that expresses a sincere and, I think, authentic faith. And I say that as a guy who probably grew up in a church that was similar to, like, you know, our kinds of churches, and there's just sometimes an undue burden for, even though when life might feel like a dumpster fire, that you have to kind of have to come here with your act together, if you know what I'm saying. And then you can go back to your tragic life, you know, and let your hair down. And I'm not saying we need to come here and be a mess, but I am saying that there is sometimes that disconnect again where, man, God is good even when life is hard. And that's what the Psalms are going to keep telling us, keep on telling us. So in just a few minutes here, we want to look at Psalm 27, at least part of it, not exhaustively. But this is King David, right? And like many of our Psalms, and he is saying some things to us with the confidence of a king. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, if I told you a king said that, that sounds almost rhetorical. Like, well, of course, the answer, Rob, the Sunday school answer is nobody. Any dummy knows that, right? He's saying that like, duh. Whom shall I be afraid? And if that's all you read of that psalm, you might be allowed to keep thinking that. But the rest of the psalm goes on to tell you all the things that he's tempted to be afraid of. Right? It's not as rhetorical as you like to think. But he says a couple things about God that really set the stage for the rest of the psalm that might feel a little out of place after such a confident start. Because again, it is a very confident start. God is my light. Light's always associated with the good things in Scripture. It's a powerful metaphor. It's a pretty broad metaphor. In this context, though, it's about dispelling darkness. The darkness, by the way, as we get towards the end of the psalm, the darkness is the enemies of David. The enemies, which we'll read about at the end, that he describes as they're like dogs that want to feed on my flesh. That kind of darkness. Like the bad guy in a movie. David's opening lines, though, tell us that whatever or whoever the problem is, right? He says, Yahweh will be the light that, in essence, will dispel or vanquish that darkness. Light is also synonymous in Scripture with understanding. We use light like that all the time. We say, like, hey, you know, that when you said that, that really shed some light on the subject, right? Or we'll say, that really enlightened me when I read that. We use light with regards to understanding better. And I think part of that also helps him set his soul for what is going to be kind of a much more of a real groan at the end of this. Because what it comes off almost like, who should I be afraid of? You know, big deal. Yeah. At the end of the psalm, it's a big deal. He doesn't just leave us there. Light has that also that idea, besides understanding, light also has the idea of comfort. The light of God is always seen as not just like understanding or victory, but it also has that idea of there's comfort. And boy, and for anybody who's ever been afraid of the dark, and I was as a kid, man, like probably most kids, you know, and it's like there is something about the darkness that is scary, right? And there's something really nice about that little nightlight, or cracking the door so the hall light's open, or whatever. Something weirdly and almost universally comforting about that. It gets a scared little kid to sleep at nights. God is our light. And that evidently is a comfort to the King of Israel. He says also, he's my salvation. And when you and I think of salvation, we almost immediately kind of think in a New Testament context, like, well, I know what salvation means. That means, you know, hey, we're all sinners, and Jesus came, and he lived, and he died to save us from our sins, so we wouldn't have to, and pay our debt, and we get to be with him in heaven forever. And that is, by the way, super, super true. I want us to say, I don't say that tongue-in-cheek, even though I said it kind of fast, but that was probably like not what David was thinking, because, well, that was 1,000 years before the time of Christ. When he said, God is my salvation, he wasn't thinking that. He wasn't thinking of John 3:16. He wasn't thinking of Romans Road or the four spiritual laws. He was addressing, but he had that covenantal relationship with God, Yahweh, as if he just knew that if there was going to be any salvation, if there's going to be any deliverance or victory in his life, especially in this really hard psalm, if He's going to get, it literally, in the psalm has this, and as we read it, it has a contentious military feel to it. He's not talking like, as, you know, four-star general David, but he was the king of Israel's army. And so when he says, God is my salvation, we cannot help but have to think along those lines that he's going to save me from who? The enemy, right? There is salvation to be had there. And of course, the obvious spiritual corollary is there is his soul at stake here. It's not just a military victory. He says, God is my stronghold. Some Bibles reference this as his refuge. A refuge. And strongholds and refuges are places that made sense, especially in a different time when battles were different, right? You sought the high ground. You built your house on a place where you could see enemies coming from, and they were best defended. You know, people put things like these, like giant castles and giant structures in strategic places because they were easily defended. And what he's saying here is that God, more than my excellent choice of geography, right, and architecture, and think I had all these hymns flow through my head, old hymns, right? A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. And you're thinking, what's a bulwark? Right? It's a defense. God is our defense. That's a great hymn. I love that hymn, right? But a mighty fortress is our God. And again, thousands of years before that song got written, that psalm, the hymn writer was reflecting on the very thoughts of David when he goes, my God is my stronghold. He is the fortress. He is my defense. He is the bulwark. The bulwark never failing. He talks about it in terms of sanctuary. In fact, he goes on to talk about going into the tent of sanctuary or the tent of meeting. His conclusion of all this comes after telling us these three things about God. He says this in verse 3. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Because of God's light, because of his salvation, because of his defensive stronghold abilities and his life, the question that he started with, whom shall I fear? Well, that's why he said it was rhetorical. He's like saying, I got all this. What do I really have to fear here? But again, there is a second half to the psalm where he goes on to really tell us a whole bunch of things that he could be fearing, right? This idea, though, of worship coming together with faith and fear is a real challenge in the psalms, but I think also part of the gold. Because you and I are tempted to fear all the time, every day. Every day about something, little things, big things. And quite honestly, one of the things that David has for us amongst probably a bunch of things is that faith, he says, is the antidote to fear. Because even though he goes on to say things like, don't hide, I'm crying out loud, you know, don't leave me to the dogs. As he says these very real things, he sets his mind with faith statement, with conviction. See, I think sometimes we think that being faithful ignores the problem or ignores the potential of fear. That if I'm going to be a person of faith, right, then I have to say, oh, that's no big deal. Or enemy, not really a thing. Because David seems to say that actually, enemy is real. And he says at the same time is, I have no reason to fear it, ultimately, okay? I think that's where God wants us to get in the heart of this psalm. Not to move faith and fear to opposite sides of the corner like they don't belong in the same room, but for you and I to kind of live with that uncomfortable tension that says, yes, I can say that with God, I don't need to fear. I don't need to fear. Like, literally, He's my light, my salvation, my stronghold. But that doesn't change the fact that, man, life is tempting me to be afraid all the time. In fact, as I get to talk and meet with people, I think that resisting the temptation to fear is probably part of the bedrock of so many of our issues, our behavioral issues, our mental health issues, our spiritual issues. I think the temptation to fear is right there all the time. And every time I turn on my TV, my phone, read the newspaper, every time I hear the news, man, you notice nobody ever says, you never turn on the news and no anchor ever says, hey, don't worry about it. Everything's great today. No problems here. Middle East, it's going to be okay. The economy, don't sweat it. Go play tennis. Play some golf. No. Every single thing is geared to it. It's the temptation for you to worry about it. Even if it's fine, they want you to worry about it because they want the clicks, they want the views, they want the news. Even if it's fine, they make news because they know if you're worrying about it, you're watching. I'm watching. Hey, I didn't even know I was supposed to be worried about that. That's fantastic. Let's watch, you know. A whole new thing to get worried about. 1 Corinthians 10 says, no temptation has overtaken you that which is common to man. God is faithful. He would not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. When I read that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, I don't know about you, but I'm always thinking about just basically kind of fleshly desiring kinds of lust. Like, hey, man, I shouldn't have a second piece of pie because I should, by the power of the cross, I should be able to withstand the coconut cream, the second piece anyway. Maybe other lusts of the flesh, right? We think, when I read about God gives us the ability to resist temptation, I'm always thinking about stuff like that. Things like, in my flesh, I might want to do that I should not want to do or indulge in. I think that's maybe where a lot of our minds go. You probably don't think it's a temptation to be afraid. I know for a long time I did not. And you might even be wrapping your head around that right now. I'm not so sure Rob's right. I'm not sure I am tempted to be afraid. Well, let me tell you this. Every time somebody sets the bait for you, says, you know, and again, it could be a news headline. It could be gossip. It could be anything. And you're like, ooh, man, I'd love to worry about that for a while. That would certainly, you know, people like that stuff. Why is gossip popular? People like to worry about things that aren't theirs to worry about. You know, it's like, God says, guess what? Lean into me and you can resist the temptation to do that, to worry. And I say that having talked to so many people in tears because their life is completely enslaved to fear. They're afraid of their bosses. They're afraid of their family. They are afraid of their spouses. They're afraid of their children. They are afraid of the government. They are afraid of their criminals and the police and different raced people. They are afraid of everything. And they'll say, I'm not afraid of anything until I start talking about, really? Really? Oh, yeah. We're so tempted to be afraid. And the truth is, we do have a fear choice. God says, fear me. The fear of the Lord, He says, is the beginning of wisdom. And the truth is this, the comforting truth is this, if we fear the Lord, we don't have to fear anything else. If we don't fear the Lord, you will fear everything else. You will. If you do not fear the Lord, your wife's opinion of you will dominate your life. If you don't fear the Lord, The approval of your children will change how you parent. If you don't fear the Lord, every headline keeps you up at night because you don't know who's in control. Fear the Lord. And then we have these first two verses of Psalms 27 that set our faith in a way that we did not have them set before. It's really the grace of God, because God gives us the ability to fear. God, like, isn't it weird to think that fear is not a sinful emotion? And maybe you thought it was. Fear is not wrong. Fearing the wrong thing is wrong. Fearing the wrong thing is sinful. Fearing the wrong thing hurts you. But God says fear has a place. God says, I created you, Rob, to fear something. Where it goes south is when you fear the wrong things. Fear is from God in a good way. It's not evil. Solomon said it's how we start being wise, right? Whenever we encounter really anything, depending on what we believe about the forces and the people and the situation, you and I have the choice and the chance to fear. We have the temptation to fear it, or we have the chance to fear the Lord and love that thing. So many things here, but I'll keep going. I'm afraid of your reaction if I go too long. The psalmist says this. He goes, I won't fear, despite the size of the enemy encamped against me. He's very aware. Again, he's not in denial, right? And again, that's true. That's true of our lives. I'll talk to people about things in their life that are scary or fearful or have them worried, because that's the nice way to say I'm afraid. And I'll say, and they'll go, Rob, you don't understand. And I can't minimize that. I said, I don't think God wants us to minimize those things. I think God wants us not to minimize the sinful forces. I think he wants actually just to see how big he is. The answer is always having a bigger God. That's why we keep coming back to that every single time. Because in the middle of the psalm, he says what? He says, one thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and inquire in his temple. That's verse 4. That's part of that song, Better Is One Day, One Thing I Ask and I Would Seek. I love, that's why it's such a great reminder for us. And you're thinking, wait, so the answer to having confidence in God and having faith be my antidote really to the fearful things in life is I just got to hang out in church all the time? Is that what David meant? I got to stay at church. I can barely go for an hour and a half. I don't want to go there all the time. Is hiding in church David's answer to the enemies about him? No, that's not the answer. It's not more church. It's not more temple time, because, of course, there was no church here, right? But what he does want us to know is his faith is girded and strengthened every time he visits and learns more about who God is and rests in that. He says, because he says, when he gazes upon the beauty of the Lord in verse 4, he says, he will hide me in this shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high on the rock, and my head will be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent, again, the tabernacle, that little portable church the Israelites had to pack around, that was kind of the traveling, you know, symbol of the presence of God in their midst. He would say, that's where they went to really, as they would worship. And he goes, when I go in there, he goes, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. So in the middle of all this ruckus going on around him, dogs outside the tent wanting to devour his flesh, he goes, you know what? One thing, Lord, I just ask one thing. I want to see you in your beauty. Teach me more about who you are. And he goes, and I will praise you for that. David was expressing that desire. By the way, life-giving worship and fellowship, if you do not think that is a direct absolute direct connection to your faith quotient, to your spiritual vitality. Wow. Can I just encourage you to reconsider that? And you might be thinking, I don't like to sing, Rob. I'm not a singer. I don't play stuff. I'm not saying you got to sing in a worship team, although I'd love that. But God has called everybody to worship. And by the way, out